What kind of berry would they can the most of?
Well, it varied. The one that was the most plentiful the summer, we most always, there was one kind we'd have more of. But we, in fact, we canned all kinds. Mm-hmm. And we used to go sometimes with a horse and wagon. We'd fill the wagon, we'd go clear to Wolf Pond with just two horses and a wagon, stay all night, pick blueberries.
Mm. You'd have to sleep under the wagon, or?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Would you can more strawberries than anything else, do you think?
No, not necessarily. They didn't do so much with strawberries as they did raspberries. Mm-hmm. In fact, raspberries has always been the most popular berries. You can make more things out of them than you can any other country.
Mm-hmm. What desserts did they have then that they don't have now?
Well, they used to have meat pies more often than they do now. Those were homemade, and you graze your own meat. Mm-hmm. And chicken pie, of course, that was very popular. And meat pie, we'd most always have that for New Year's. And they used to make them sometimes, 15, 20, and freeze them, you know. And then they'd thaw them out for...
Where were they freezing?
Outside, outdoors.
Right in the snow?
Oh, yes.
They'd put them in a box?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kept just as good as could be. In fact, we used to put beef out like that. Keep beef, we'd buy a quarter of beef, half a beef. Sometimes my father'd kill a whole beef and freeze it like that, wrap it in paper. Keep it.
Your mother made pies often? Berry pies?
Not at that time, no. Nobody did. But I tell you what they did make was shortcake mostly, or else we'd have the sauce with hot biscuits.
Uh-huh. Mm. Did your father have 3 or 4 cows?
Oh yes, he had sometimes as high as 10.
Uh-huh. So he could afford to kill one. And
he'd most always have one to kill, raise one to kill in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Did you eat more pork or more beef?
Well, we ate more pork because we ate it more often. But beef was always more, it's more popular and it's, I'll tell you, it's more saving than pork because you can make so many things with beef. For instance, you can make dumplings, different kind of dumplings. Mm-hmm. And you can save some of the broth and make some soup. And you can cook vegetables in the broth, make a boiled dinner if you want to. And there's a lot of ways that you can do with the beef broth that you can't with pork.
Would you make a boiled dinner with pork ever?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Take a shoulder and we'd make a lovely boiled dinner.
What kind of soups would you have?
All kinds. But they were all homemade. Mm-hmm. But at that time, there was no macaroni soup with tomatoes. We didn't know what that was. I can remember when we first heard of macaroni soup with tomatoes, and that's very popular now. And it's made real often in rice with tomatoes. We used to make homemade rice soup and potato soup. That was made with potatoes. We always had a lot of potatoes. That was a cheap soup, and it was just made with potatoes and onions and fat.
Mm. How much fat would be mixed in?
Well, it was according to the size of your, and how much you like fat, and how many could eat a lot of fat. My family never could eat much fat.
How was the rice soup made?
With the broth, and they'd have it simmering, and then they'd wash the rice good, put it in, cook it until it was well done, and we'd add more water if the broth was boiling down. We'd put salt and pepper, and that was it. Mm-hmm. Then they told us about chicken rice. So when we had a chicken, we'd boil the carcass, take the little bits and pieces of chicken off the bone, have it in the broth, and then we'd add rice. That made a lovely soup. Does today.
What was your mother's favorite soup?
Pea soup or bean soup. Mm-hmm.
Right. Would she make any other soups that were Canadian in origin?
Well, most all the soups were Canadian origin at that time. Mm-hmm. Because they were all coming from Canada. And today, most all the soup recipes come from Canada.
And the meat pie recipes.
Well, that they made according to their what they liked. Some liked them more fat, and they used to season them according to themselves, what they liked. Most all of us was salt and pepper. Some liked sage.
Did they use pork in their meat pies?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of pork.
Mm-hmm. Did you have much game?
Oh, yes. Well, the boys used to go and get partridges.
Mm-hmm. How would they be cooked? Just like a chicken?
Yeah, that's right. Rabbits.
Mm-hmm. How about deer?
No, my people never were very fast for deer. Mm-hmm. They never went hunting much. Therefore, we didn't have venison berries.
Yeah, it doesn't taste that good anyway.
We don't care for it.
No.
I used to cook it. I was over at the KC 10 years, and I used to cook it for different months over there. And make dressings, serve it with dressing. It was pretty good then. They used to always give Mr. Marlowe and myself our dinner in the kitchen when I'd serve it. But then they'd always tell me, get no dinner, you'll eat quite air food. And you know Alfred Allen Malone?
Yeah.
I used to cook it for him and my, he loved it. And he used to take home all the dressing I would make. He loved it.
Would you make it from the deer? The dressing from the deer broth?
No. Just my own bread. Mm-hmm.
Did they make dressing in those days?
What's that?
Did they make dressing when your mother was cooking for her family?
Well, it in the late years they did. And I can't tell you how dressing started either. But when I remember when we first heard about it and we first tried it, why, we were wild for it. We kept on making it and we'd make it with most anything. Now that most people hate to make dressing. In fact, we had it with pork at noon today, and it was beautiful. It was wonderful dressing.
Did your mother make it?
And the dressing, sometimes, yeah. And sometimes it was us girls.
Mm-hmm. But it was common when you were young.
Oh, yes, very, very common.
Mm-hmm. What would you have on Thanksgiving?
Well, if we could afford it, we'd have a turkey. If we could raise our own, or a goose, or a duck. But if we couldn't, we'd kill nice big chickens.
Mm-hmm. Or a rooster.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Would you have cranberry sauce?
Not in early days. In fact, we'd use homemade gel.
Oh yeah, probably just as good.
Yeah, we liked it as well then.
Mm-hmm. What kind of homemade gel would you have?
All kinds. Well, not blackberry. Or blueberry. We most always made strawberry or raspberry. Mm-hmm. Or crabapple gel. And my mother had a lot of gooseberries, and she used those for gel.
Gooseberries, huh?
Gooseberries are the best gel you can buy.
Where did you find those?
They growed in bushes right near my mother's house.
You don't hear very much about them now.
No, you don't. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was the white gooseberries and the red ones.
Were they sweet?
No, they were very sour and took a lot of sugar. That's what you made with it.
But when you did have the sugar in, they were good.
Oh, you bet.
Mm-hmm. Did you make homemade ice cream?
Not till the late years. Oh, I don't think I made homemade ice cream till around the time I was married. Mm-hmm. In fact, we didn't know what ice cream was when we were little. There was no such thing.
Mm-hmm. Your mother would make your own clothes?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. So by hand.
Yeah. Where would she get the cloth?
At the stores, 3 cents a yard for most any kind that made dresses. Then when it went up 3 yards for 10 cents, we thought that was terrible because it went up by a penny on 3 yards.
Where were the nearest stores?
Whoopleville.
Uh-huh. Who owned them at that time?
Carpenters. Mm-hmm. The carpenters kept store for years.
Mm-hmm. Were they reasonable in their prices?
Oh, yes. Then mm-hmm. Mr. Fred Lyman started a store in Whippleville. He was good, too.
Mm-hmm. Who was living in Whippleville about that time, when you were young?
Well, there was the carpenters, the Lymans, and the Foots. There was quite a lot of Foots. In fact, old Jewett Foot, old Bill Foot. And Old Bill Foot and Jewett Foot were noted to be very very rich people. And Mr. George Loeb He lived there for years. He was right on the corner. Had a farm there.
Loeb?
Loeb.
Loeb.
George Loeb. Mm-hmm. Now all those people are dead.
Who else was there?
Well, just a few that would work to the mill. You see, this Mr. Lyman kept a mill, sawmill, for a while, and people would hire out and work there, 50 cents a day. Wasn't that awful? But when they'd work all the week, we thought that was grand, $3. Mm-hmm. Why, if we'd go to the store and spend $1.75 for groceries, we thought it was terrible. Now you can't turn around for that.
What would your parents buy at the store in the line of groceries?
Just like sugar, or tea, or flour, soda. There was no baking powder when I was little. Salt. Very few bought their meat because they raised their own meat. And there was no baker's bread when I was little.
They'd have to buy such things as lamp chimneys, things
yes,
like that.
Yes, They had lamp, oil lamps.
Dishes would they have to buy?
Yes.
Were the cooking dishes of that time usually tin?
Yes, they were all tin. And not what you'd cook your beef or pork in on the stove, them were iron kettles. Uh-huh. And in fact, we had a lot of iron frying pans. They were wonderful. Nothing had burned in them, you know, they'd hold the heat and not burn.
What did you call those? Spiders?
Spiders, that's right.
Did you have any sheep to make wool for yarn?
Yes, they kept them for a while. And there was a carding mill not far from us. They used to card it, and then my mother used to spin the wool, spin the yarn. We'd pick the yarn, we'd send it to the mill, they'd card it. Then they'd send it all in rolls, you know, about the size of your finger. They'd be in strips. And she used to spin them and make her own yarn and knit socks and mittens and everything she wanted.
Who had the carding mill?
Let's see. I know who it is. The first one that I remember, I think his name was Leach, and he was a man from Chateauguay.
But he had a carding mill in Whippleville.
Well, it was about halfway between Whippleville and Chasm Falls.
And you're pretty near halfway between Whippleville and Chasm Falls.
Well,
a little closer to Chasm Falls.
We were closer to Chasm Falls.
Were you ever in his place?
Where they carded the
wool?
No, I never went through.
How big was Fred Lyman's sawmill?
Well, not too big. I don't know, I could... I don't think it was any... I don't think it was any bigger than the ordinary barn is now, the ordinary farm barn. About that size. And I can remember it had a porch at the front where you'd draw out the bags of stuff and...
That was a grist mill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mrs. Young?
Yeah?
You ain't going down now, are you?
Yeah.
For supper?
Well, yes, near 4:30.
Well, it's 4:15 by my clock. About 7 minutes before we have to go down. We have our supper at 4:30, see?
Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty near. I do.
Hello.
This is Mr. McGowan.
How was the wool, after it was carded, turned into yarn?
Well, they used to have spinning wheels. Oh, they were about that high. And you know, they'd have a spindle, what we call a spindle, on the front. And my mother used to put them on, and then she'd turn the wheel with one hand, pull this, and it would spin right along, in a great long. She'd let go of it, and it would wind up. And when that was full, she'd take it off, and she had what we call a winding mill, and we'd wind it. Us kids would do that for her, and we'd wind it, and then we'd put it in skeins for her, and then she'd spin again.
How much wool would she use for her work?
Well, it was according to what she was making, the size of the children she was making it for. Mm-hmm. She'd make their socks and mittens.
How would she dye her stuff?
Well, at that time, they used to take anything in diet. In fact, he'd put cold tea, soak the yarn in cold tea for a while, and that would darken it some. Mm-hmm. And then it got so that the dye came into him.
Mm-hmm. What else would they use for a dye besides the cold tea?
They
used the wood dye.
Yes, most any kind of wood. Mm-hmm. And black cherry used to make good, the juice from that used to make good dye for wool, for yarn.
How about maple or butternut?
They didn't use that near as much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What were your father's clothes like that he would work with?
Well,
how were they different from today?
They were all wool. My father was subject to pneumonia, so he always wore all wool and wore wool clothes year-round, flannel shirts. My brother used to make them, and flannel underwear, and then he used to wear lung protectors for his lungs.
What were lung protectors like?
Well, they were just like a bib, and they were red flannel, and they'd put them inside of their underwear and mm-hmm. button them on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. Wore that.
They must have had quite a few home remedies.
Oh, all kinds. People had, they'd boil onions and catnip and turkey weed and most all those things.
Mm-hmm. What would they do for a sore throat?
Most always you'd rub the outside with salt and then got so you'd gargle it with salt. Mm-hmm. Hot water and salt.
You'd rub the outside with salt?
Mm-hmm.
Anything
till it was really red. And then I'll tell you one thing they believed in a lot was going to bed with the bottom of your dirty stocking on the front of your throat where it was sore. And the next morning sometimes we'd get up and our sore throat was all gone. We believed in that a lot.
How would you fasten the dirty stocking to the neck?
With a safety pin.
Uh-huh. What would they do for a cough?
For a cough?
Yeah.
Most always drink hot water.
Was there any syrup they would make?
Well, sometimes they'd take different things and make whatever they could. And they used to make a salve too. There was a bamagiliot tree that was near our house, and the buds on the bamagiliot tree, you'd take them and stew them down, and they'd put down into a salve. It was the nicest thing for sores that ever was.
What does the bamagiliot tree look like?
Great big, it was a huge tree, mm-hmm. and the bark was kind of, the knots were darker and it was white. The rest of the bark was white.
Was it sort of like a willow?
I think they were more, marked more in willow. You know what I mean, mixed. The bark was mixed more.
Mm-hmm. What would they do for a cut? For a cut or a bruise?
Well, most always they'd, first thing they'd do, they'd soak it in cold water. And mm-hmm. then they'd wrap it tight with a cloth. And then they'd put this bamagiliot salve on. That was a great remedy at that time.
Mm-hmm. What would they do in the line of home remedies for a poultice for people?
Well, then they would put a bread milk poultice. They'd warm bread and milk together and put that on. Mm-hmm. And, there's something. And then mustard. They would put mustard poultice on. Now, mustard poultice was especially good for a cold on the lungs. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Would they have anything to wash the eyes with?
They used to most always take cold tea. Mm-hmm. Now they use so many different things. There's quite a few here that got bad eyes, and they use most anything. Now, in fact, one of them told me yesterday she was using sodium water. I said, you be careful with your sodium on the inside of the eye. I don't think sodium on the inside of the eye would be good. And I asked her if she ever used cold tea. I said, the olden times, cold tea was a very good remedy for the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Would they use hops as a remedy for anything?
Well, yes, now we come back to poultice. They used to make a poultice of hops. Oh. They'd put them on, steam them, get them good and hot, and put them anywhere. Now for swelling, that was very good for a swelling that would come. such as rheumatism at that time, you used to doctor it at home. Now it's arthritis, and they give you all kinds of shots and all that stuff. But at that time, they used to put a poultice at home.
Hmm. Did they do anything in the ears?
Very, very seldom. Although they used to put the fat from a chicken, the oil, that they used to save the fat from the chicken for a good many things. Mm-hmm. Now, if a baby had the croup, they would, the croup, you know, was kind of a lung infection nowadays. Mm-hmm. But it was the croup, we call it then. You don't hear that no more. But they used to give it for, you know, and make a baby throw up, see? And that would relieve this fullness they had in the lungs.
Hmm. Did they use anything for children's diarrhea?
Well, they most always had paregoric in the house. Uh-huh. You could buy paregoric then without a prescription. Now you can't. But they used to use that an awful lot. And they used to scald milk and make them drink it hot. Mm-hmm. That was very good.
Hmm. Was there any other home remedies they'd use on young babies or growing children?
Well, I told you yesterday, I guess, about catnip. And catnip was very, very used, was used all the time, mostly on babies, mm-hmm. for if they had a temperature. Of course, then they used to call it fever. And you could tell if they had quite a high fever or not. But now, the minute they have a fever, they get a doctor and take the temperature right up. But they used to use that the minute they had a temperature. It was a great, great help. If they use it more now, I think the doctors wouldn't make so much money.
Catnip.
On babies, especially.
Mm-hmm. Did they have anything for a toothache?
Well, yes, they used to warm a cloth, flannel, and hold it on your face wherever the toothache was. And they used to hold hot water in their mouth. And then you used to buy oil of clove at that time. Mm-hmm. And that you can't buy that without a prescription now. And that was very good for toothache. So now, then they began to carry the idea that this caused decay. Maybe it did, because they lost their teeth very young at that time, younger than they do today, because they begin doctoring the teeth the minute they have them. But for one, I was only 17 when I had my teeth out.
Did people eat so much sweet stuff then? Is that the reason why they lost
their teeth? No, they didn't eat as much sweet stuff as they do now.
Huh. They didn't brush?
What's that?
They didn't brush.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. They didn't brush their teeth. You'd never take a bath in it. Well, there was no bathtubs. No bathrooms or bathtubs then. You took a sponge bath. Sometimes after meals, you'd go and rinse your mouth at the sink. Not at the sink, because we had sinks, but it was those old wooden sinks, as I told you yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Were baths on Saturday night?
More often than that. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. If the children played outdoors, then it was a bath before they went to bed. Wash them up anyway.
Mm-hmm. 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 Did adults take as many baths as young people?
Yes, I think they did. People were as clean about, some were as clean about themselves as they are now, and some neglect themselves now, and they did then.
Mm-hmm. Did they scrub the floors, you know, on their hands and
knees? Oh my, I guess they did. I was telling that to the table the other day. You know, there was no linoleum, no carpets. And they used to go and get sand, this white sand in the sandbanks. And we used to sprinkle the sand and take a cloth and rub that, and just to see who would have the whitest floors. Mm-hmm. If your neighbor had a floor whiter than yours did, we thought that was a terrible thing. Oh yes, it would always scrub their floors on their hands and knees.
Hmm. Would they use water after the sand?
Oh yes, you had to wash it off. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was a hard job, because you had to be awful careful about your soap. You know, then they used to make what they call soft soap. They used to save everything during the fall season, and then they'd save all the scraps when they'd butcher a pig, and then they'd put that in, and they'd buy lye and put it with it, and they'd make a wild barrel of soft soap, but that was very strong, and they'd use that for washing too.
Mm-hmm. How was the soap made?
Well, they would take this lye. They had a great big kettle, a huge kettle outside, And they used to make pour logs and put this kettle on it, keep a fire under it and boil this until it was all mixed good. Then it was soup. Then they'd let it cool off, put it in a barrel, put it down cellar. We'd go down and get it by the canful to use whatever one needed.
Mm-hmm. Did it make suds?
Oh my, yes. Wonderful.
Mm. Your parents were Catholic?
Healthy? Oh yes, very. Mm-hmm. My mother lived, as I told you yesterday, like in a month of 98.
Mm-hmm. Were there anything that old people did then when they were old, chew anything? You know,
the most that they ever done was chew tobacco. Mm-hmm. It was very common to see men that chewed tobacco. Mm-hmm. But now there's very few that does.
Did women smoke a pipe?
Very often they did.
Mm-hmm. How many can you remember who smoked a pipe?
Oh my, there was, ever so many. They'd smoke a clay pipe mm-hmm. at that time. And then they began to use different pipes, but you used to get clay pipes free for 10 cents.
Did you have pack peddlers?
Yes, a lot. The ghosts, you see them come, and they'd stop and show us what they got. They'd try to get a lodging. If they couldn't get a lodging, they'd sleep under some big tree, and all night to start the next day. And they were very common to see from Malone to Mountain View. Mountain View had some resorts at that time, and of course they used to get more for their things there than they did on the way up.
Right. How often do you think they'd stop at your house?
Oh my, it was nothing to see 2-3 a day. Sometimes one would come back every week. I don't think you remember Sam Levine that used to be in the store at Hookerville. He's been dead quite a while. It was very common to see him. And I remember one time he come, wanted to sell my mother a shawl. He says, I'll sell it to you for a dollar. And, my mother didn't think she could afford it. And he says, I'll go up to Mountain View, I'll get $7 for it. He'd increase the price because they had the money.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Were many of these people Syrians or Jews?
Well, very all mixed. The Jews were very common, Italians were very common.
People take them into their homes willingly?
Some did. Now, my grandmother Purdy, after she married that Grandpa Nicola that I told you about yesterday, she had a woman that used to go with pack on her back, and she used to always stay overnight with Grandma. Grandma got very fond of her.
A woman pack peddler?
A woman pack peddler. There was both, but the women wasn't so common as the men.
Did most of these people have it on their back, or did they have a little horse and cart?
No, they had it on their back. Sam Levine got so that he had a cart.
Mm-hmm. What things would they sell?
Everything, from socks to straw hats and all that.
Mm-hmm. Jewelry?
Not so much. When they did, it was very, very expensive. Wow. In fact, I've got a pin that came from my grandmother, that solid gold. And she bought it from Sam Levine when I was just a little girl, and she gave it to me when I was 13 years old and gave me a ring that come from me.
Hmm. Where did she live?
At Chasm Falls. Just not too far from Prosper Benoist.
Uh-huh. How was her house different from yours?
Well, it was smaller. And they had just two rooms downstairs, two rooms up.
Were there many log houses in the area?
Yes,
when you were growing
very
up?
Many, very many.
Uh-huh. Where would they be along the road?
There wasn't too many that were close to the road. Most always they followed the streams, the river, you know. They'd be across the river, we used to call it.
Now, where was across the river?
Well, that was across from Chasm Falls Road. That was the Salmon River, you know, mm-hmm. was crossed there. There were several across there from where we were that had log houses.
Between the road and the river?
No, out of the other side of the river from where we were. The road and the river was between us and the log houses. Mm. You see, we lived on the left-hand side of the road as you go up, and then there was the road and then the river and then those houses. They're all torn down now. Mm.
Your parents were Catholic, were they?
My mother was. My father wasn't.
He wasn't?
He was Methodist.
What religion did the children follow?
Catholic.
Would he go to his church and the rest of you to the Catholic church?
No, he went with us an awful lot. In fact, he turned Catholic before he died.
Where was the church then that you attended?
Right where it is today, St. Helen's Church at Chasm Falls.
It looked a lot different then.
Oh my, a lot different. But the cemetery was right where it is today.
Could you explain how it looked different in those days?
Well, I'll tell you, today, of course, it looks nice on the outside, well finished. And then it was very common to see a church with just boards. Unless it was built of brick. Now, the brick church at Chasm Falls, you've seen that, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Methodist church. Mm-hmm. That, of course, was built with brick it was built when I was very, very small. And if it wasn't brick, it was just common lumber.
And that's the way St. Helens was?
Yes, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, it's finished in brick, just seems. But the inside is still board. That is, it was built with board, but it's been covered over, see?
Mm-hmm. Were the boards showing when you were going there as a child?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
On the inside?
It was common. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very common.
Mm-hmm. How often would the priest come and visit at your house?
Once a year.
Uh-huh. What would the family do when he came?
They'd always donate something to him. He always expected a donation. Whether you were poor or rich, no matter if you give him a dollar, he was just as satisfied as though you'd give him 50. The priest didn't make money the way they do now. They do different things now, like bingo and things like that. They make money, but they didn't. Eh?
Would he bless the house when he came?
Oh, yes. Bless all the family.
Mm-hmm.
That was a tradition. When he came, we'd all kneel down and ask his blessing. And we thought that kept us in good health and helped us. They still do it today. Mm-hmm. Although there's many Catholics that don't ask the blessing from the priest.
How would you ask it?
Please, Father, give me your blessing.
Uh-huh.
He'd say it in Latin at that time.
He'd give it to each one individually?
No.
To all them together?
Once for all.
Mm-hmm. Would he say the rosary with the family?
No, if we asked him. And he'd tell us to say the rosary in bunches, you know, to mix. That's why that here, now this morning, we said the rosary in the room across, and all the Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a society here, we call it the Legion of Mary. We all belong to it, and every morning we go in one room or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, today is Thursday. Tuesday they came here. Wednesday they went to Mrs. Young's room. Then this morning we went to Miss Sampica's room. Tomorrow morning we go downstairs in Mrs. Hooper's room.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. We'll make the rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And the priest comes once a month and say Mass in the living room downstairs. And we've got everything that we need to build an altar down there. We have we bought a lovely table and we've got everything that we need that we put up when he comes. So to make it convenient for him.
Mm-hmm. He stays and talks with you?
Yes, mm-hmm. Very, very friendly. Hears confession, give communion.
Mm-hmm.
Them that can't go to church, it's very nice for them.
Very. Mm-hmm. What advice would the priest give you in the old
Always days? Very good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Especially to not, for a woman and man to not part and ask for a divorce. A divorce was unknown at those times. Of course, they began to think, well, they got to do it to protect themselves in law. And now, a divorce is a common thing. And the Catholics don't look at it the way they used to. It's very, because it's too common. But nobody had a divorce then. They'd part, but they wouldn't have a divorce. Then it began that they'd get they'd say, well, we parted and we got a bill of separation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they thought that freed of some, but of course the Catholics never looked at it that way. And today, many of the Catholics are very much against divorce.
Mm-hmm. Would the priest tell you to say the rosary?
Oh, yes, after supper each day, especially in Lent.
Mm-hmm. Would you say it in other days, in other times besides Lent?
Oh, yes. Very often.
What else did you do in Lent that was special?
Well, we used to try to go to church every morning if we could, but it was always too far for us to walk. And, of course, my father used the horses on the farm. So we didn't go to church too often, but we would say the rosary in the morning and we'd take a penance. For instance, sometimes one would take meat. They wouldn't eat meat all during Lent. Another one wouldn't play cards all during Lent. Another one wouldn't smoke all during Lent. And that was the biggest tradition going. I remember I had a brother-in-law that he always took to not smoke. When it come Ash Wednesday, he would put his cigarettes and pipe away, and he'd go all during Lent without smoking. When it come Easter Sunday, he wanted to smoke just as bad as when he give it up, and he'd go right back smoking.
Did many drink in those days?
Men?
Did many drink, many people?
Well, yes, it was a common thing for people, but not women the way they do now. No, not women. In fact, no girls was ever allowed to go in where they were selling liquor, in a bar. Now it's a common thing to see women and men and see women bartenders, but not then. In fact, after my husband died, I went to work in a restaurant, and the bar was just outside the kitchen door in the one corner of the dining room. And my mother was still living then, and we kept it away from my mother that I was working where they'd sell liquor, because my mother would have made me stop. She wouldn't have wanted me to work in that place because they were selling liquor. But thank God, there was never one of us girls, we're five sisters, we never smoked or drank, either of us.
What was done on Easter, on Easter Day?
Well, we'd always plan on going to church and try to get as good a clothes as we could go, same as they do now, dress up for Easter. And we always went to church, went to Holy Communion at the High Mass. There's Low Mass and High Mass in the Catholic religion. Mm-hmm. And High Mass, we'd always go and receive at that Mass if possible.
Mm-hmm. Did they have Easter water, which was gathered by the family?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Holy water on Easter. That was blessed, you know, the day before Easter, and we'd always take a bottle with us and get it. In fact, we believe in it a lot now for thunder and lightning storms and things like that. And sometimes people put it onto to heal a sore, a swelling or anything like that, rub it with holy water.
Mm-hmm. Would you get your holy water from a stream?
No, they had it by the barrel, and they would bless it at the church. And then we'd get it from this barrel with a bottle. But there's nothing to see anybody get a quart of a bottle full of holy water. Now they go with a little bit of a bottle, you know.
What would you do during a thunderstorm?
We'd always take this holy water and sprinkle it in the windows in the form of a cross and make the name of it with the sign of the cross. And then when a lightning would come, we'd all make the sign of the cross. And my mother would always lead the rosary and we would answer it during the storm.
Did you make novenas to special saints?
Not at that time. It's only in the last 20 years that they've made novenas. And that's a very good thing. Now I have one that I make, a 9-hour novena. That you have to say every hour, on the hour, for 9 hours, or the same day. If you, now suppose I begin at 7 o'clock. Well, I begin and I do that for 9 hours on the hour. If I'd be 5 minutes late, I have to start over again. And I've had good results from that one.
Are novenas made usually to the Virgin Mary or to
any saint that you want?
Mm-hmm. Were people aware then that different saints were good for different types of afflictions?
Yes, one worship one another one. Now, for instance, my sister Elizabeth. And Mrs. Pastor Benway, St. Jude is her favorite saint. In fact, she promised it when her husband has a leg off. And when he was going to have his leg off, she promised if he got well, that to St. Jude, that she would get a statue of St. Jude, life-size, and put it in the church. Mm-hmm. And she did. And it's up in St. Helen's Church at Chasm Falls now.
Mm. What did you do on Christmas?
Well, we never worked, and we'd all gather different places. Christmas and New Year's were very big days. In fact, New Year's was a bigger day for my mother than other days, because they would always go to see their parents, and we'd always go with them. And children would always ask their father's blessing on New Year's. And Christmas was a big, big holiday. They didn't get drunk and all that, though, the way they do now.
Would you hang up your stockings on Christmas?
Mm-hmm, very much. Mm-hmm. But then we didn't get big, you know, it wasn't so commercialized as it is now. If we got a little bit of candy and peanuts, especially peanuts in the shells, in our stocking, we thought Santa Claus had been very good to us.
Hmm. Would you get oranges in those days?
No.
Popcorn?
Yes, we used to have popcorn. In fact, we raised it ourselves, popped it ourselves. And that we used to string it, trim our tree, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. How many other people raised popcorn?
Oh my, it was a common thing at that time. Oh. Everybody that had a garden put in popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Did they tell you about Santa Claus?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Same as they do now.
Would he ever appear?
Yeah, but not so much. It's only in the last, well, I'll say 30 years that we see Santa Claus in a costume and things like that, and somebody pretend it was Santa Claus and have a good time that way. But before that, he was a mystery. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if we'd hear a noise, it was Santa coming down the chimney. And we really believed that he did come down the chimney. We'd tell him to put the fire out and all that. We didn't want a fire for fear of Santa Claus getting burned.
You believed he came down into the stove?
But yes, we really thought he came down the chimney and through the pipe, you know, down into the stove and come out. Yes. Everybody, of course, now they tell children when they're very small.
Did you have a tree?
Mm-hmm. Not when we were very small, but as we grew older, we see a tree, but we didn't get a great big tree the way they, some of them do. We used to get one that was wouldn't be too high, and then we'd string popcorn, decorate our tree. We didn't have lights and all that stuff the way they do now. No candles.
Did they ever put religious ornaments on the tree?
Yes, we did. Any pictures that we could cut out, religious pictures from during the year, we'd save them to pin on the tree.
Mm-hmm. Did you open your presents Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
Well, I'll tell you, there was no presents then. Just this, what Santa Claus would bring.
In the stocking?
Mm-hmm.
Would you have a big dinner?
Yes, we'd always have a nice dinner. In fact, we'd always keep, like a ham from when we butcher the pig, we'd keep the ham for Christmas, and fresh ham. And then they had a beef they would kill, we'd keep beefsteak. Beefsteak was a rare thing at that time. Mm.
So beefsteak was enjoyed on Christmas?
Oh my, yes. Yeah. And on New Year's too. But on New Year's, to tell the truth, there was a stew, and they call it glissants, and in French, but in English it was like noodles, and you'd make them yourself. And why they used to make, a 20 quart kettle full. And they'd make them a couple days before and freeze them, then they'd thaw them out and warm them. And that was the stew we'd have for, and it was beautiful with beef.
Mm-hmm. So it would be beef and noodles on New Year's?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they really enjoy it yet. Now those glissants, as I was telling you, they call them sliders. And in fact, here a lot of them say, oh, if they'd only make us some sliders. It's a flat dumpling, you know.
Mm-hmm. This would float on top of the stew?
That's right, and you had to be careful. You'd roll them just as thin as you could, and then as you put them in, you'd just lower them under the broth with the fork, so to not make them stick together, and not stir them. And then you'd put another row on, and that's the way you'd do. And when they got done, you'd just let them kind of stew up, just simmer. And when in about 5 minutes, you'd draw them on side, they were cooked. Makes an excellent dish. Mm.
Was that from Canada?
Yes.
That's too. Mm-hmm. Were there any other special foods on New Year's?
Well, I guess I told you about meat pie yesterday. We always had meat pie on Christmas and New Year's, always. Mm-hmm. And we made our got our own meat ready and everything like that. Now you go and order it at the butcher shop, and they mix it for you and everything. Didn't then, you had to mix your own.
Did they start celebrating New Year's before it came?
Not only the night before, and then there used to be a clump of men that would take their sleds and horses, and they would go around begging for the poorest family in the neighborhood. And one would give a little something, another would give something else. And in fact, they would give a lot of vegetables and meat and things, potatoes, to this poor family. That was a big help to that family.
Mm-hmm. Would they do that at Christmas?
No, just at New Year's, the night before New Year's.
Would they have a party, a celebration?
No. Because as a rule, those people that they begged for were very old and very poor.
Mm-hmm. Would the men get together and have a few drinks?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would they go from house to house?
To beg, they did. Otherwise, they didn't. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Would they dance and sing?
Yes, on New Year's night, they usually would have a gathering somewhere, and they'd dance and have a good time.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do on the 4th of July?
Well, when I was a little girl, there was no 4th of July until after the War of 76, you know. And then, as it grew, the celebration, I remember my father used to take the tea.